Good morning. It's November 28th, 6:35 a.m. Sun is peeking up over the horizon. I'm back out walking in the pre-dawn. It's a work day. I got to get people moving, and I need to get me moving. I got a lot of stuff I want to do today, a lot of which revolves around writing. So I can't be lollygagging around in bed. Something woke me up around 5:30 or so. So I was able to get up and get out here today. I also had my alarm set for 6 o'clock because that's what time the elder daughter needed to wake. So just in case, I do have a backup now. A couple thousand words in the can yesterday. That was a nice little bonus on top of wanting to write 20,000 words. I got 2,000 out. That was good. Could probably do a few more today. I've got some appointments this morning. I got some blanks in the middle of the day. If any luck at all, we'll have a chance to get some stuff going. I took a chance last night. I took the opportunity in the evening when my hands hurt, and my head hurt, to go looking up music videos on YouTube. And what started me was that my elder daughter didn't realize that we keep talking about the whiffing poofs. And purposefully confusing them with Hufflepuff or whatever it is. And Harry Potter. So at some point last night, my wife made some comment about Whiff and Poofs. And elder daughter said, "You're just making that up, aren't you?" And she said, "No, actually there is a group called the Whiff and Poofs," which is really amusing when you consider that it consists of the male choir at Yale. And the Whiff and Poof song with the sheep. Yeah. So we had to prove to her that the Whiff and Poofs did exist, and along the way I found the YouTube video of the Whiff and Poofs singing Bad Romance, which of course sent me back to listen to the original, and then to listen to a couple others. Having listened to the Lady Gaga Judas Priest mashup, listening to Judas by itself, I have to say it's a bit bland. But it's still an interesting story. The rapid cutting is very interesting in terms of the video itself, in terms of chopping up the look. But anyway, that led me to go look at something very different for me, which was the Antwoord. I don't speak the native language, the South African, whatever that language is. I know what it is, I just can't pull it up. Afrikaans, thank you. The Antwoord is what they call Zef. It's not rap. It's a different kind of, it's sort of like South African gangster. heavy on the F-bomb. Very interesting social commentary, honestly. I first came across it a couple of weeks ago. Somebody posted a link to Rich Bitch. And I actually followed that link out and watched Rich Bitch and thought, what the hell is this? And it was fascinating to see, obviously not your stereotypical American. Very highly stylized, very highly, I'm going to say manipulative, it's not the right word, highly evocative. There were, you know, parts of it that were played for comedy, parts that were played for camp, part of it that were actually drop-dead serious, which I thought was an interesting juxtaposition in the course of what really amounted to a rather rude and certainly crude, in terms of content, music video. I went and looked at some of the other stuff, Evil Boy, and there was an interview that they had done, sort of. I listened to some of that. But it was very interesting to see this other take on rap, this international take on rap, from a white, literally a white ghetto in South Africa. Yolande Visser is a strikingly visual person. She's on screen. It's hard to get your eyes off her. But then again, so is her colleague. He goes by the name of Ninja. I read his name. It's, you know, some typical dude-like name. Enter the Ninja. That was another one that I watched. It was a fascinating collection of visuals and sounds. I won't say inspirational, but it certainly was a way to break any kind of mental log jams I might have had. I'm really looking forward to today, tomorrow, and Wednesday to try to crank out a few more words. Anytime I hear you. Today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I was thinking it was Thursday, but no. To get a few more words out for NaNoWriMo. I may take a break today and put the desk up. I have to find my tape measure so I can measure how wide it needs to be and how deep. Those are a couple of key issues that need to get resolved. Excuse me. It's 32 today. It's not terribly cold. I got a little steam in my breath now that I've got walking and got heated up a bit. And of course, today, this morning, I have Bad Romance caught in my head. Usually it's when I watch Lady Gaga, it's Poker Face these days, or Bad Romance has sort of taken it over. In part because of the parody lyrics that Brad Gamblin came up with. That we sort of play back and forth with for a while. I really like the idea. I want your tropes. I want all your cliches. Around the corner and down the street. So the sky has cleared actually a bit to the east. The sun is peeking up underneath the clouds, picking out the low hanging bits of cloud, little bumplets. Some interesting kinds of deformation of the clouds, looking at the sun skating across the bottoms. We tend to look up and see the sun shining on the tops of the clouds and lighting them from above. This is a much more direct light on the bottom. Kind of pretty. It's turning. The light around me is taking on the same kind of orange glow. It's quite a diffuse light, being that it's coming from the entire overhead. I've got no shadow whatsoever, not even directly under me. It's interesting lighting. Yawn. Sorry. I hope I stay awake today. And failing that, I hope I get a nap early so that I'm not struggling against it all day long. I have a suspicion once I get back, get a cup of coffee in me. Get the brain cycling over, which is really what this walking, talking bit is about, is to get my brain cycling over. Oh, and apparently I'm going to be teaching a class starting in January, just to keep things lively. Same course I taught over the summer, technology, education, and culture. And I'll be using the same techniques in terms of doing podcasts. But because it's a full 15-week course and not a basically 15-day course, I'll have a little more time to stretch out, to give people an opportunity to process and to think a little bit more. I also have more time to give them more work, which is kind of cool. I'm looking forward to trying to figure out what kind of additional work I want them to do. Blogging and social media, of course, the podcast in the morning. Whether I'll send them a podcast every day or not, I don't know. That's not something that I necessarily want to get into, although it did work pretty well. It's just that's a lot of podcasting for what basically amounts to 3 hours a week. They can take up all of their time just listening on the podcast. And I don't really want them listening to me all the time. I'd like them to listen to themselves. So perhaps I'll have them do a podcast of their own. It could actually work. I could have them use the Tumblr phone-in to phone-in short clips. And then subscribe via RSS so we could hear each other's voices. It would be an interesting experiment because I think, and I think it was a I think it was Alan Levine, who was talking about some guy who teaches or who does a morning reflection podcast, a morning pages podcast, much like this one, for his teaching, where he thinks about and talks about what it means to be a teacher. And Levine was working with it and realized that it's a completely different kind of cognitive process, much more direct, much less prone to the self-edit that we tend to do when we see words on a page, even a digital page, that the stream of consciousness, that the ideas that come out are not necessarily the same ideas that we write about and have a sense of immediacy and in a certain sense some depth that doesn't come across on the printed page. Because with my voice I have inflection, I have pacing, I have tone, and what I say is significantly colored by how I say it, which yields a very different kind of communication. Now the problem, as I see it in using this for educational purposes, is that way too many teachers use it for lecture. And recording a lecture still means it's a lecture. Now, if you're a good lecturer, I can see where that might work. It's sort of like being a good book narrator or taking part in lit chat yesterday, and one of the participants was a professional voice actor who was adamant that no author should ever read his own work, and that anyone who does is just ridiculous and really needs to contact a professional in order to get the most out of any given work. Now, there's a certain part of me that goes back to something that Jeffrey Kafer, also a voice actor, also with an agenda, had to say about, if you think you're the only one who can do your words, then you need to get a reality check, because nobody's words are that special. If you look at some of Shakespeare's stuff, that part of the value, part of the intriguing nature of that work is that so many different people have interpreted it. So what would Scott Sigler do with one of my stories? What would Merle Lafferty do with one of my stories? What would Patrick McLean do with one of my stories? I think back to when Patrick McLean, P.G. Holyfield, and I launched a couple of years ago in Balticon, and we read each other's books. And it was electric. It was astonishing. I wish I'd recorded it. So to a certain extent, I can see what he's saying, that perhaps as an author, I'm too close to the work to actually give it the right interpretation. The other side of that is that it's been so hugely successful. Why would I want to change? I don't know. Interesting questions. However, questions that will at least have to wait until tomorrow, because I'm at the back gate. And tomorrow is another day.